friends. You're listening to Irish Radio Network USA. And I am in the Tower Museum right now in Derry, in Derry City. And I have as our guest Bernadette Walsh. And Bernadette Walsh is an archivist at Derry City Council and curator of what has to be one of the most imaginative museums anywhere. And of course, I can say that about 20 years ago, or maybe it's even a little bit more, I was here for the opening of this fabulous museum, which actually is in the shadow of Guildhall. And Bernadette, you are indeed very welcome.
Thank you, thank you.
Tell us about the museum. As a matter of fact, tell us about the four museums,
which you are indeed
tattering between one and the other at any time. So tell us about,
yes.
Start with this museum.
Well, we're in the Tower Museum, as you've mentioned. So this was a museum that was established in 1992 by Derry City Council's Museum Service. It's in a building that was known as O'Doherty Tower. And it was called O'Doherty Tower because it was really built and put together by a lovely gentleman called Paddy Doherty, but more well known as Paddy Bogside.
Paddy Bogside, indeed.
So what we have is we have an exhibition which looks at the whole history of Derry. It's called the Story of Derry Exhibition. So we look at the history of the city from prehistoric times right through to the present day. We have lots of really interesting objects, archaeological finds from archaeological digs that took place. Lots of the archaeological digs took place in the 1970s during the Troubles period. And we found some amazing objects that are on display. We also have a lot of artwork and archives that have come into the collection, really a lot of them by donations. The Derry public are fantastic, and if they have an item that is of relevance to the history, they're always more than happy to donate it to the collection. So we also have three other museums in the city. We have the Foyle Valley Railway Museum, which is a great place for young families, anyone who loves trains and steam engines. We also have the Workhouse Museum, which is in the original workhouse for the city. It's just across the river, and it has an exhibition which we're about to relaunch next month, which looks at the workhouse period and the famine period. And then lastly, a building we reopened in June this year is the Guildhall. And the Guildhall is a fantastic building. It's a beautiful architectural building that was built. It's suffered a lot over the years, and it's been burnt down twice. It suffered a bombing in the 1970s. Over the last few years, we conducted a £10 million restoration project, and we've restored the external fabric of the building as well as the interior of the building, and we've installed an exhibition which looks at the Ulster Plantation.
How was Derry affected by the Great Irish Famine?
Derry was affected quite a lot. A lot of the reasons why is the location it's in. Derry was obviously one of the biggest cities in the northwest. So a lot of the people and the families across the northwest, so in County Derry and in Donegal, in County Donegal, just across the border, would have felt the need to maybe travel to Derry because there was a workhouse here. There was also a workhouse in Letterkenny, which is also a museum. So it was a place where people felt they could come and at least get some charity support.
What was the workhouse?
The workhouse was a place that it was run by the Civic Corporation, by the Board of Guardians, and it was a place where it was really a last resort. If you had no food, if you had nowhere to live, and you had no money, you brought your family to the workhouse and they would be provided for. But it was a very difficult environment. Men and women were divided, and the children were kept separate from the parents. So there would be two dormitories on the top floor of a building. All of the workhouses are really in the same design. So you'd have a dormitory for the men and a dormitory for the women and then a dormitory for children. The only time the children really got any contact with the mother was if the mother was dying or if the mother was very ill. So from the age of, if the children were under 7 years of age, they stayed with the mother. Once they reached the age of seven, they would then be working in the workhouse with the fathers. So the fathers would maybe be breaking stone, collecting peat for the bogs and for the fires. And the women would be doing cleaning and washing and repairing and making clothes and textiles, which would then be sold. So it was a very, very tough life for people.
Take us a quick run around this museum, starting, of course, with what year period were we
We're standing in, the area we're standing in at the moment, it's the Georgian period, and we have a beautiful carriage, which was, it's been restored. It was given to the museum by, it's related to a house called Prehen House, and Prehen House is in the city just across the river, in the waterside, and there's a really lovely story to it. It's quite a sad story as well. The family that lived in Prehen, the Knox family, they had a young daughter, and the daughter was, shall we say, she was quite well liked by an older man who lived in the city, and he decided he wanted to take her as his bride. The girl was taken out of the city. The father tried to get the daughter out of the city, and they were in the carriage. The gentleman, he was called McNaughton, followed on his with his own carriage, and shots were exchanged, and people were injured, and the daughter died. So what we have on display is the carriage.
As a result of the attack? Or
yes. So the story with McNaughton is that he was then brought to court to be jailed, and he was sentenced to be hung. And nobody wanted to hang him because they knew that he just loved the girl and he just wanted to be with her. So it was really a love story, really. So he was taken to the gallows to be hung. And when the command was given, the rope snapped and he wasn't hung. So he didn't want to be known as half hung McNaughton. So he then decided to be, he would be hung a second time, and he was killed. So it's quite a scary story, and it's a story that all of our staff really love, because when we do Halloween tours in the end of October, we always have someone dressed up as half-hung McNaughton who would jump out to frighten the children. So what we have is a carriage, which is the original carriage, which was restored by a group of wooden restorers from the Republic of Ireland.
You're open all year?
Yes, we're open. Our general hours of opening are Tuesday to Saturday, 10 till 6 p.m. But during the summer months, we do 7 days a week, and we always have one late night opening. So we're open all year round.
And you are mobbed because of the FLA. And also, of course, the Gathering Ireland 2013 have brought people to this area, and indeed throughout the north, in numbers like we've never seen before.
It's incredible. This year is also our UK City of Culture Award, yeah. So that was bringing people already, but when the guys for the FLA arrived at the beginning of the week, we just can't believe the amount of people coming through the doors.
Thank you.
We had 7,000 people coming in.
Oh,
on
my
Monday,
God. In one day?
In one day,
oh
into
boy.
The Guildhall.
Okay.
So it's fantastic.
Archivist, Derry City Council, and indeed the curator of one of the finest museums. Again, it's at the bottom of the hill to the Walled Castle, or to the Walled...
The walls of the city.
Walls of the city, opposite Guildhall. And Bernadette Walsh, thank you. Thank you for taking the time out to talk
Thank
to
you
us.
Very much. Thank you.